Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show, afternoon edition. It is Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. Hopefully our audio is pretty crisp and doing all right here. I'm obviously back home at the parents' house, but we will be back up north this evening into the night for the watch party. Watch parties will return for Game 3 against the White Sox. Appreciate your guys' patience. But, yo, speaking of patience, bear with me here in terms of the setup. Obviously, it's not our usual backdrop. Not that any of you guys give a damn, I'm sure. But at the very least, hopefully the audio is all good. We got a bunch to cover today. It might be a little bit longer of a show. We're going to break down the latest on the Mason Miller front. We're going to hear from Jeff Passan, who was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday, and basically laid out the framework for a potential deal that he says would be an overwhelming offer on the Yankees' end, an offer that they could certainly do, and it would not include George Lombard Jr. We'll get into that. The Marlins, this might be our biggest story today. The Marlins are at least willing to listen to offers for many guys, but the main one being Otto Lopez, and he may now be my number one trade target. The Marlins are listening to offers on him. We'll get into that. Also, trade interest is being generated with Clark Schmidt, and hadn't really thought about that, but it's quite an interesting conversation that we're going to have. We'll break down all that and more, but yeah, click like on the stream. It does help out a great deal. Good to see you guys again. We're live every single day here with the Morning Yankee Show. Now, let's start out with the Padres, because Mason Miller, listen, we need bats. We know that. The Yankees are going to get a catcher. They're going to get probably a right-handed hitting outfielder as well. If you're completely out of the loop, the trade deadline needs are catcher, right-handed hitting outfielder. For a while, it felt like bullpen help was at the forefront of that. Not so much anymore. The Yankees' bullpen has truly been nails. Doesn't mean you don't want to upgrade it, though. In the case of Miller, he is so good that needs kind of go out the window. When somebody you can acquire, if you can acquire somebody of that caliber, you go out and do it. Because as Jules Sherman put it in his article yesterday in the New York Post, which was a great article, by the way, I highly encourage everybody to read it, where he was pretty much saying why Miller should be the Yankees' number one trade target. And one of the lines that he put that I like a lot is the overwhelming advantage, which is borderline a cheat code, of having a reliever as dominant as Mason Miller. And you pair that with our starting rotation. I know we need offense, but if you can go out and get him, you do it. Now, we'll hear from Passan in just a moment, but what is very interesting that Jules Sherman also reported is that over the weekend, the Padres had scouts at every single level of the Yankees minor league system. And even more interesting, specifically with that, is Dax Kilby, their 2025 first-round pick, 19-year-old shortstop. They specifically asked where he was going to be because he's been, you know, just came back from injury. He's been moving around levels. He's now in, I think, low A, but he was at the Florida, in the Florida Complex League, and the Padres were specifically inquiring where he was going to be. But bottom line here is every single level of the Yankees minor leagues, Padres had scouts at. I would say Miller aside, there's probably a deal to be made here. You know, there's Adrian Morejon, the reliever. He's also really dominant. Not Miller-like, but he would be a great get for the Yankees. I would not be shocked if, to some level, there's a deal with the Padres by August 3rd. Now, in regards to Miller, Passan was on the K-Show yesterday, and they were talking about the possible framework for a deal, and I'll just let Passan take it away. It's a little bit longer of a soundbite, probably about like 30, 40 seconds, where he starts up by saying, indeed, Mason Miller is available, which we do know. And then he goes on to list what a potential package could be. Here is Jeff Passan yesterday with the Michael Kay Show.
Mason Miller is available. The Yankees could acquire Mason Miller. Yes, they have what it takes to do so between the controllable starting pitching that they have and the players that they have in the minor leagues. You know, a guy like Dax Kilby, he's going to be a really good player. And he's been hurt for most of the season, but you put together a package that includes a starting pitcher, Dax Kilby, you throw in Carlos Lagrange, like it would be an overwhelming amount of talent for a guy who throws only one inning at a time.
So that's Jeff Passan. Now that last line I think is a nice little generalization, but when talking about Mason Miller, he's not just of the category one inning at a time. I mean, that's mostly what he does throw, but there's a difference between a dominant reliever and what Mason Miller is at this current point in his career. Now, the trade package that he laid out, the headliner there is Dax Kilby, which we may have to start talking about him more, as I tweeted out yesterday, kind of a Star Wars reference, but Some may get it, some may not. But the point is, Dax Kilby is the key to all this. And the reason I say that is because the Yankees, we know, do not want to give up George Lombard Jr. in really any trade. If I were to guess right now, there's maybe probably 0% chance that Lombard gets moved. And I'm cool with that. But everybody else has to be on the table. And the package that Pats proposed for Miller was one that included Dax Kilby as a headliner, followed by a starting pitcher and Carlos Agranje. He labeled that as what would be an overwhelming package to San Diego. Doesn't mean they would accept. Doesn't mean that's actually truly the case. But just going off of what Jeff Passan said here and using it as like a jumping off point, in regards to the headliner, Dax Kilby, whether it be in a deal for Mason Miller or whether it be in a deal for, say, Otto Lopez, who we'll talk about, which will require a massive return. There's guys out there that will require the Yankees to really dig deep into their farm system. And if it's not Lombard, it may have to be Kilby. And it's kind of like the second Lombard, essentially. I mean, in the case of Kilby, 2025 first-round pick. He's a shortstop, 19 years old. Probably profiles more as a second baseman long-term, is what scouts say, just because his arm isn't great. Had a lot of, like, shoulder injuries in high school. But what scouts do rave about is his bat. And he's now back healthy from a couple injuries that he had. But, scouts love his bat, including the Padres. The Padres tried to draft Dax Kilby last year. So if the Yankees were to get this deal done, which we don't know is going to happen, not trying to, you know, get anybody's hopes up here, but this is a story right now that the Yankees are pursuing Mason Miller. We heard Joel Sherman say the other day that if they can do it, Mason Miller is their plan A. And if that deal were to get done, that means, all right, the Padres are willing to go after a guy that's not, or a package that's not including George Lombard Jr. And if so, you're likely going to see Dax Kilby go in that deal. And that is fantastic news because Kilby is very highly regarded. But in this case, you have a guy that's very highly regarded, and we're not talking about George Lombard Jr. We're talking about somebody else. And in this case, it's Dax Kilby. How many of you really were that familiar with who Dax Kilby was? Now, on this channel, probably quite a few of you guys, because you all know ball. But even so, like, I'm well aware of Dax Kilby. I like him a lot. But in the end, I don't really care. Like, I'm not going to lose much sleep over trading him away if the return is indeed Mason Miller or if the return is Otto Lopez. Again, we'll talk about Lopez in a little bit because he's fascinating and he might be my number one target now. But in the case of that, I'm willing to include Kilby. Bottom line is here is like he has not the exact value of Lombard because Lombard is really approaching like blue. I mean, he's already there. He's at blue chip prospect status. He's in the top 20 of most top 100 rankings for prospects. Some lists he's even in the top 10. Kilby, though, is in the top 100. And he kind of flew under the radar for a little bit because, you know, he missed majority of this year with injury. But now he's back. He's looking good. Again, scouts love the long-term profile of his bat. His bat speed, all that stuff is like off the charts. Dax Kilby is legit. And he might be able to be the forefront of a deal, whether it's for Miller or somebody else, that gets us pretty damn excited. So, again, I think Dax Kilby may be the key to all this, depending on who it may be in return. And if he's included in a trade, that means it's somebody pretty awesome. But that's kind of our way out here is, all right, we're going to keep Lombard. We have a lot more as well. And then you get into the pitching depth that we have, whether it be, I don't know if the Padres like Will Warren. Maybe even Clark Schmidt could be an option in that deal as well. Whatever deal we're talking about here, the Yankees have essentially a quasi-blue chip prospect in Kilby. And then they also have a lot of everything else with the pitching and other prospects that they do have that are quite highly valued that it's exciting to know that. Especially considering what we heard also from Joel Sherman is that the Yankees seem willing to extend almost all their capital besides Lombard to get whatever deal they want done. So they're going to be able to do both, keep Lombard and also make a lot of moves and maybe one or two that is like borderline a blockbuster. And in that case, you would see Dax Kilby go as a return most likely in a deal like this, like a Mason Miller or maybe an Otto Lopez or that tier of trade. But bottom line is, everything we just said, but also expect some sort of a deal to go down with the Padres because it seems like they've been aggressively scouting each other, particularly on the Padres end of things. And it might just be Adrian Morejon, who would be, that'd be a great get. With that said, I'm all in on the Mason Miller train because of the fact how easy it would be. I don't say easy, but it shortens the pathway to winning games in the postseason. And by the time October hits, and trust me, we need bats. I understand that, but you'll have Judge back. You'll have Stanton here. You'll have Bellinger back, obviously, as well. So by then, Not saying our offense would be perfect come October, although I'd feel a lot better with those three guys, especially Bellinger and Judge back, and if we get Stanton back, word. But in that case, with the rotation, you pair that with Mason Miller, guys, this will be far and away, not even close, the best chance we have to win a World Series in October. And then not to mention, if they do acquire a catcher, we'll see if it's Ryan Jeffers. That feels like it's ever-changing. At one point, the Twins are buying, and that could still involve Jeffers being moved, or maybe they're going to hold on to him and we have to pivot somewhere else. But a lot of things are going to go down over the next week or so, and then you look at the true talent team come October, which we'll really do and break down after this week once the deadline is done, August 3rd, and look at the team once it's healthy, plus the acquisitions that we make. We should be in a really good spot come October. We've got to make sure on Cashman's end, and I do have faith in him as of right now, that he makes the necessary moves to ensure all the loose ends are filled, all the loose ends are taken care of, all the boxes that we need are checked. And for all I know, one of those boxes might be blockbuster deal. That's for Mason Miller or Otto Lopez. Speaking of Otto Lopez, let's get into that because this got me excited this morning. Per The Athletic, the Marlins are willing to listen to offers for Otto Lopez, Xavier Edwards, Liam Hicks, who a lot of people are interested in. He's, of course, their catcher, and he's pretty damn solid. And Eriberto Hernandez. Hernandez is interesting as well, right-handed hitting outfielder. But the guy I really want to pay attention to here is Otto Lopez. This is something that we keep mentioning Jules Sherman, but rightfully so, because I think he's the best in the biz. He had a quote the other day, a statement where he said, I would go to the Marlins and make them say no about a potential deal for Otto Lopez. And the reason being, it would be a fantastic fit for the Yankees. Now, long-term, George Lombard Jr. is our shortstop. And this is one of those things where we know there could be a world where the Marlins say, it's you either give us Lombard or you're not getting him. And if that's the case, then they're probably not making that deal. But again, everything we just talked about, Dax Kilby, everything else that we have, and the fact that now the Marlins are apparently willing to listen to offers for Otto Lopez, this is something the Yankees should heavily pursue. And if you're not all that familiar, shortstop, 27 years old, under control through 2029, and he's having a fantastic year, hitting .328, OBP of .362, 22 stolen bases, 9 homers, 7 triples, 4.4 war. I mean, he has been really, really good. Really good. And in the case of him in particular, there's other guys as well. I mean, some people have mentioned Xavier Edwards. I'm kind of good off Xavier Edwards. Liam Hicks, we can have that conversation too. Hernandez is interesting, but when talking about a massive return, possibly going back to Miami, Otto Lopez would be the guy that it's for, as well as, you know, Liam Hicks too. But Otto Lopez is at the forefront here of why I'm so excited about this possibility. You acquire him, he becomes your shortstop for the rest of the year. And then Lombard long-term is still your guy, but we know Jazz is likely to depart in free agency. So at this point, you would have Otto Lopez move to second base. And he plays all over. He plays a good shortstop. He plays a good second base. He plays a good, I believe, third base as well. I think he's like plus 7 defensive runs saved, plus 5 outs above average, or vice versa. So the defensive metrics are really, really good with Lopez, and he hits. What you would do is probably like just lead him off, and then in that case, you'd have him 1, Rice 2, Judge 3, Bellinger 4, Stanton 5, Grisham 6. And you'd still have Jazz in the lineup for the rest of this year. It's just long-term, you probably would let him depart, as you're already going to do. And then Lopez, who's under control through 2029, would then move to second base. Or maybe he starts next year as a shortstop and give Lombard a little bit more time. But if this deal can get done, and it would cost a lot, you're talking the same thing, probably like similar to a Mason Miller package, where it's Dax Kilby, Carlos Agranje, Will Warren, or something along those lines, if not more. That's a massive package going back. But if you can go out and get him, Lombard aside, you do it. Because Otto Lopez, imagine him in this lineup. Like we just said, you lead him off, Rice 2, Judge 3, Bellinger 4, Stanton 5, Grisham 6, or Jazz 6, Grisham 7. Who am I forgetting here? Well, we have to see if we acquire a catcher as well. And then, who's I just forgetting there? Catcher? First base? Second base? Third base? Shortstop? Center field? Left field? Anyways. I want Otto Lopez bad, and the story here is that the Marlins are willing to listen to offers on him. Now, Xavier Edwards, he's more of like a second baseman. That I don't think his defense is great, at least not at shortstop. He doesn't intrigue me all that much, although I'm not opposed to getting him. Liam Hicks, catcher, obviously not against it. He is a lefty, but he can hit. Eriberto Hernandez has been in the big leagues for just a couple years, but his OPSs have been towards the upper 700s. He's a right-handed hitting outfielder. We know the Yankees need that, so he's somebody to keep in mind here as well. But as I mentioned, a million times by now, the number one target here, if possible, and it seems like it is Otto Lopez. And it'd be a massive return, but it's something you go out and do. I think he might be, again, needs aside here. This isn't just about needs, because Miller, if you can go out and get him, you do it. He changes the entire landscape of how you can win games in the postseason. Makes it much easier to win games in the postseason. Another way Sherman put it was like he's essentially a cheat code in the postseason, Miller is. So he's up there as my number one target. A 1A, if not number one entirely, is Otto Lopez for me. Dude's hitting 328, 362 on base. I mean, that would be your first true leadoff hitter since, with the exception of second half Glaber in 2024, like 2019 DJ LeMahieu. It would be the first time you could have a true leadoff hitter that hits for average, but whatever you want to say, average does matter, but also you always got to look at the on base with that. You get on base at a 360 clip. He's very fast, 22 stolen bases, plays good defense at short, which is all the reason why it's going to cost a lot to get him. But for right now, the story is that he apparently might be available. And that being the case, I'm very excited about this possibility. So, Otto Lopez, I want you. Hopefully, I see you soon. And we're getting there. Before we know it, it's going to be Monday, August 3rd. Deadline's at 6 p.m. And for all we know, something might go down today. Not in this case, but like we don't know. It'll probably be a lot of deals on the last couple days and the very last day because teams still believe that they're in the race. But at some point soon, whether it's with us or somebody else, like we'll start to see some big deals go down. I know Curtis Meade, that happened. And how about the Red Sox? Tough luck with them. Curtis Meade, he might be done for the year. He broke his wrist like right after they acquired him and gave up a Canelli early to do so. But we should be heading soon towards just deals and action around the trade deadline in general starting to take place. We're almost there. And what's exciting about the Yankees end of things, whether we're talking about specific players or just the general idea, is that apparently they're going to be aggressive. It sounds like they're, again, Lombard aside, everybody else is going to be on the table. And we have a lot of guys that teams will want. With the pitching, with Kilby, we have a lot of it. The Yankees can do many deals that by this time next week or a few days from now, August 3rd, we could come out of this pretty excited. But knowing that's a possibility, you also maybe, you know, somebody that doesn't want to get your hopes up, you know what the other outcome could be, and that's Cashman disappoints us. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to react to it then. And trust me, we will react accordingly. But for right now, everything that we're hearing is that the aggressiveness is there, and the Yankees are looking to upgrade in a few specific areas, but also just everything is on the table. What was the Jim Bowden quote the other day? It was, Brian Cashman is looking at everybody and everything to make this team better. I like the sound of that, but that's an idea right now. We got to see it play through. So I understand the trepidation many may have, but do understand this. Cashman will make deals. He does always make deals. It's a matter of how much do we like what he actually gets. But in terms of players acquired, we'll probably look at it, four or five guys brought in here by Monday. Hopefully, Otto Lopez is one of them. I wouldn't bank on both Otto Lopez or Mason Miller. But imagine that. I'll hold that hope for one. Let's hold that hope for one. And between the two, honestly, who do I want more? If I had a pick, Lopez or Miller, I am going to take Lopez. But I do want Mason Miller bad. With that said, let's move on to this. This is interesting. I hadn't really thought about it, but Clark Schmidt, per Joel Sherman, is generating trade interest from other teams. Now, I thought about it now that this has been brought up. And prior to this report, I hadn't even considered it. But it does make sense that, you know, teams would want Clark. He's expected to come back from Tommy John in September, and he's rehabbing well, under control through next year. I'm curious what team would want him, like, for the short term in terms of, like, looking to acquire a starting pitcher for this year, because how much will Clark really be built back up to really be a viable option, like, right away in September? I mean, that feels like a risky game to play, but if you're a team that is maybe on the fringe of being in or just wants starting pitching in general for next year, Clark would be a great option. And in the case of just who he's been over the last couple years, you look at 2024 to 2025, obviously injury riddled, but in those 2 years, 30 starts made, 307 ERA, a 1.14 whip, K per nine a little bit over nine. I mean, Clark has been a very solid starter since, you know, he had 2023 where he was a successful year. He made 30 starts and, you know, pitched every fifth day for the Yankees. But 2024 on, when he was on the mound, and last year included before TJ, he's a very reliable starting pitcher. And on the Yankees end of things, think about what the plan is next year. Well, we have a surplus of starting pitching right now, but also for next season, talking like, you know, top to bottom. our rotation next year is still Cole, Freed, Cam, Rodon, and then your five, you're still going to have Warren under control. You're still going to have, barring trades, obviously, you're still going to have Warren, Ryan Weathers in control. We got to see what the situation is post-deadline, obviously. But, like, our rotation next year is already set and then some. It's already set with depth. Like, as of right now, trade deadline aside, potential deals aside, it's exactly that. It's Cole, Freed, Cam, Rodon, Warren or Weathers, Clark. I mean, right now, Clark would be your five. Elmer. We still have LeGrand. I mean, there's a bunch more in the minor leagues as well. So, like, the Yankees, this is a very common thing to say here, and this is why this is, deadline is very exciting. We do have a position of surplus to trade from, and it's our starting pitching, whether it be major league guys right now, with Clark coming back as well, and then the minor league system, the Yankees can deal from this facet of their team and still be in a pretty damn good spot come next year. So, on their end, it would make sense to consider it. I don't know what kind of deal this would fetch, or maybe it would even be, you know, not the forefront of a Mason Miller deal, but say the Mason Miller deal is like at a point where you're feeling pretty good about what the Yankees are offering you for the Padres, and you're like thinking about it, and then there's another team that gets involved, but then the Yankees finish the deal with Clark Schmidt. Not that he would be a throw-in, but bottom line is he does have value. I didn't think about it, and in the case of this year, he is going to pitch again. Next season, he'll be fully built back up to a starter that's been pretty damn good over the last 2 years, so just something to keep in mind here, that Clark Schmidt is generating trade interest. Kind of fascinating. We'll see where that goes. But, yeah, again, I expect the Yankees to make a lot of deals. It just remains to be seen what those deals are, obviously. I do think we're headed for some sort of a, oh, wow, like, big-time deal. And it might be something that we're not thinking of. Put Miller to the side, put Lopez to the side. We talked about Seiya Suzuki briefly the other day. Like, maybe it's something along those lines. It kind of comes to a degree out of nowhere that we're very excited about. There also will be, like, what we call the bargain bin moves, but like, those are fine. The Yankees, for the most part, are really good at what we're talking about bargain bin-wise. It's probably going to be, like, a relief pitcher maybe that has a high ERA but a good peripheral chart or strikeout numbers, whatever it may be, and they'll be able to capitalize on that. Sometimes they don't, but more often than not, at least compared to other teams, they do. So you might get a couple of deals like that. You might get a right-handed bat that we don't even think about all that much as a great option, but then you realize, oh, this is why they got him, because he hits against lefties, or he's a good defender, and he's been hitting well over the last month or so. They took a flyer on him. Those kind of moves are fine, paired with they got Ryan Jeffers. They also made a big blockbuster deal, sending Dax Kilby, LeGrand, and a bunch of others to the Marlins for Otto Lopez. Like, we got to make sure we look at this deadline as a whole. So if their first move is, you know, something from the scrap heap, something that doesn't get us all excited, like, the deadline's not over. When it is over, we'll react. But you're going to have a few deals probably like that, or at least one or two that are like, all right, like, we'll see how that works out. And then you might have the big hammer drop, which would be a Lopez or a Mason Miller or whatever it may be. I think there's going to be things moving, hopefully pretty soon. July 29th, obviously right now as we record this. So we're getting there. And maybe even something will drop today. But we do have to, you know, get some of these teams to realize that they're not actual true contenders, because for right now they believe that they are. And I guess I can't blame them. But Twins, just what I'm saying here is, like, give me Ryan Jeffers. Like, let's go. Give me that. Give me Jeffers right now, and then we'll go from there. Jeffers is really hitting, by the way, since he came off the IL. Good win for the Yankees last night. Speaking of closing, David Bednar, I think that was perfect last night. He's been so great. Sometimes you can be so good and just not give up runs to where it's a bad omen. Last night, two-run shot, but he still got the save. I think he still got the win. So it's like, doesn't feel like a shoe's about to drop where it's like, oh, he's due for a bad outing. That's just how baseball works. Well, technically, he had it last night, and we still won. He still got his 22nd save. So I actually looked at that as a good thing. But four-game set, looking for a third straight win against the White Sox tonight. Cam on the bump versus Davis Martin. That should be good. Obviously, Davis Martin, last time out, we rocked him with a different team. Although Judge wasn't healthy at that point either. Bellinger obviously was, though. We'll see how that goes. But nonetheless, yeah, the Yankees are actually playing pretty well right now, and they're a game and a half back of first place in the American League East behind the Tampa Bay Rays. So, yeah, just keep on going. You'll be back live tomorrow again. Well, first of all, we'll be live tonight for the watch party. I'm headed back up north after the show. But also, the morning show will be on a everyday basis still, but it may just be some times where we're live in the afternoon instead of the morning or whatever it may be. And then we'll go back to our normal, like, 8 a.m., 9 a.m. time slot after the trade deadline. But, yeah, click like on the stream if you do not mind. Use code YanksAV15 to get 50% off your merch. Link in description for that. And yeah, that'll do it for this episode. I'll see you guys later tonight for the watch party. But as for the Morning Yankee Show, see you guys tomorrow. And who knows, maybe we'll even have a deal made by then. Have a great rest of your day, and let's go Yanks. See you guys next time.